the new series called Resurrection Power, and what we're trying to do is take what the excitement that we had from Easter and how great Easter was, and the Bible, it's so amazing, in Ephesians, it says that that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to us in our lives. Is that not amazing to you? It's amazing to me that this idea that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that we have access to get through the day, to get through our lives. And so what we're going to be doing this morning is a little bit different than what I typically do. Typically, we go over a section of scripture, we learn some truths about the Bible, and then how to apply them to our lives. This morning, we're going to do more of an informational sermon, more of a teaching than a preaching, and that will be, and it'll be about the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit that much. I talk about Jesus a lot. I try to model my life after Jesus. Jesus has changed my life. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my King. I talk about my Heavenly Father all the time, that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, that sent Jesus to die for our sins. And then we don't really talk about the Holy Spirit that much because the Holy Spirit doesn't talk about himself that much. As a matter of fact, as we'll see throughout the scriptures, the Holy Spirit pretty much is just the mouthpiece of Jesus, right? But we do have to understand this concept of the Trinity. And so what we believe is that there's one God, okay, that manifests himself in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And for those of you who have been Christians for a long time, you're like, oh yeah, dude, this is like, why aren't we in Sunday school? Like, this is the easiest thing in the whole wide world. Well, good for you, because I can't understand it, and I'm a pastor, okay? Matter of fact, my title is the Most Holy Reverend Padre Father. And so, if I can't understand it, you know what I'm saying? But to wrap my head around the Trinity is so difficult for me if I just spend any time really trying to think about it. But the thing that's really given me comfort over the years is, wouldn't you want it to be kind of complicated if we're talking about God? Like, shouldn't it be otherworldly or kind of hard to understand? I mean, if I have a God that I can just understand like this, so that's given me comfort. Like, and it helps me of just going, look, you're not stupid. It's just hard to wrap your mind around an eternal God that shows up in three persons. And you see it from Genesis 1. It says the Spirit of God was moving over the waters. Like you see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit just right from the jump in the Bible. He says, let us make man in our image. And you're like, wow, our image. Like, what does that mean? Well, it's this idea of the Trinity. And then when Jesus shows up on the scene and you see him get baptized and you hear God the Father say, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. It's just kind of mind-boggling. But I think we can be comfortable in it. I think we can be comfortable not understanding. And there's all sorts of different examples. There's like an egg. I don't know if you've heard that one. Like, so you have one egg, and it has a shell and a white and the yolk. Or you have an apple, and it's got a seed and a core or whatever. I don't know how any of that works, but we're going to be talking about the third person of the Trinity this morning, because this idea of the Holy Spirit moving in your life, empowering your life, guiding your life, is the key to this whole series of Resurrection Power. It's that same power, it's that same God that raised Jesus from the dead that we actually have access to in our lives. And next week, make sure you're not here, because we're going to be talking about sin, okay? So it's going to be super uncomfortable. You're going to be like, oh man, I don't know if I want to hear it. But you have to show up, because if you don't, then people are going to think you're a sinner, and that's why you didn't show up. You should have tried it. No, I'm just playing. You got to show up. That's pretty funny. Okay. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off in Ephesians. I'm going to kind of show you, tee up the whole series in Ephesians, and then we're going to go to John, which is where the Holy Spirit shows up for the first time. It's where Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 15, and 16. Jesus mentions this idea of the advocate about five times in that. And so we're going to do that. And then we're going to hit Romans. And then we can get you guys to Subway to have lunch. Okay? All right, here we go. Ephesians 1:17. Now, this is just, again, I joke around all the time that I geek out over the Bible, but this section of Ephesians is so powerful. It's just mind-boggling to me. Watch what he says. So it's Paul talking to the church of Ephesus, and he's trying to get them to understand how amazing it is to have a life in Christ. So he's telling them, he's proud of them. He hears about these things and how they're doing. And then in verse 17, he says this, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, right, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So right from the jump, we understand that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to get us to understand who Jesus is. And to kind of, if you want to call it sandpaper our lives, to go, hey, this is what to be like Jesus is like. So this is if you're a mom, this is what it's like to be a mom who follows Jesus. If you're a husband, this is what it looks like to be a godly husband. If you're in school, this is what it looks like to be a godly student, right? And so the Holy Spirit is there so that we would get to know Jesus better. He goes on. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Is that not exciting? Right? This is Paul praying for us that we would understand, that we would the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which he's called us. He goes on. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. Is that just one? That one's flickering, Mark. I don't know what's going on with that one. This one, was this flickering at all? Okay, all right, good. Well, that doesn't matter then, because that's my monitor, and it doesn't work. Okay. His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That we would experience that power. That's what this whole series is about. That there would be a resurrection power in our lives to get through the day, to get through the week, to get through this difficult situation, to get through this economy, to get through the next election, to get through whatever it is that's bothering you. We have access to that power, right? And from the heavenly realm. So that's the setup for the series. And we're going to be talking about six places in our lives that need this resurrection power. And so the thing we'll be talking about next week is, how do we overcome sin? Should we even care about sin? What's even the point of our lives? Like, does it really matter if we can get forgiven right away? What is it? You know, why not just sin and ask for forgiveness? Like, what is that? We're going to touch on a little bit this morning, but we're going to hit it really hard next week. So where does the Holy Spirit show up? Jesus in John chapter 14 begins this idea of, hey, I'm leaving, but I'm sending you an advocate. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump all the way to John 16 to blow your mind about what Jesus says about himself and about the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but even when Pastor Michelle was reading that book and he said Jesus went and said you could touch my hands, and it would be like, wouldn't that be cool, right? And I don't know about you, but do you ever think it would be super cool to be around the real flesh and blood Jesus, like to watch him move, to watch him do his thing, to see? I take Hebrews literally, that he was anointed with the oil of joy. So I think he was really cool to hang around with. Like, he was a happy person, right? And so then you think about the miracles, like seeing someone raised from the dead. Like, wouldn't that be the coolest thing? And then I don't know if you're like me too. I think if I saw that Jesus in the flesh, I'd have more faith and I'd be a better Christian. That's what I think. because I'd see it with my own eyes, and that would be great. And I think I'd be a better pastor, a better everything, because I will have seen it with my own eyes. Do you know that Jesus himself doesn't agree with that statement? Jesus himself is like, oh yeah, no, it's not, that's not, that doesn't matter as much as what's happening next. Jesus says to his disciples, it's actually better if I leave, because if I don't leave, then you don't get the Holy Spirit. So this is Jesus' own words. We're going to start in chapter 16, verse 7. We'll come back to this exact same verse again, but I just want to tee this up so you can see it. He says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Isn't that amazing? Here's something that's crazy to me. They were better disciples when he was gone. Crickets. They were better disciples when he was gone. They experienced something different when physical Jesus left. There was something else. What happened to those disciples? We talked a little bit about it at Easter time. They saw the resurrection. That was a big deal. But it wasn't nearly as big of a deal as it was when they received the power, indwelling, and guidance of the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit is available to you and to me. In other words, the disciples being their best is the same as us. Jesus is gone. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Am I making any sense? Okay. Another thing too, this is just, I got contacts a couple days ago. So I go to grab my glasses, and when I put them on, it actually gets blurry. It's like I'm in the habit so much of grabbing my glasses when I go to read that I'm actually messing myself up. Okay. I just thought you'd be interested in that. The most holy reverend Padre Father. Okay. All right. So listen to what he says. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away, right? Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I'll send him to you. It actually got better for the disciples when Jesus left, because they could actually experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not going to get into all the things the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit gives you gifts. I don't know if you knew this, but when you accept Christ, in Ephesians, it says, you're sealed with a promise of the Holy Spirit. So everybody who's accepted Jesus, who follows him as Lord, you have that. It's not special. You don't go to seminary to get the Holy Spirit. You don't get special training. You don't study your way into the Holy Spirit. You might say, John, I don't know anything about the Bible, but guess what? You have the same Holy Spirit I do, right? It just becomes building this relationship to understand what his voice sounds like, okay? And so he says, I won't go away. Then he goes on so that's 16. So let's see where Jesus first mentions the Holy Spirit to the disciples. This is it. It's in chapter 14, okay? I told you we're going to go backwards now. And he says, I will ask the Father, okay, Father, I, the Son, will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. The Greek there is paraclete. It's a comforter. It's a helper, right? It's a to come alongside, right? To help you and be with you forever, the spirit of, what's that word, that last word? Truth. There is a spirit of truth. Truth is not relative, okay? So when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he's speaking truth. And someone will say to me, I think I heard the Holy Spirit. Oh, what did the Holy Spirit say? If it's something that doesn't line up with Scripture, guess what? In the Greek, they say, it ain't the Holy Spirit, okay? So that was fancy words there. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of truth. So if you're believing some lie about yourself, it's not the Holy Spirit talking to you, okay? Right? Now watch what he says. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Now, if you're the disciples, okay, you're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Like, this is so foreign to them, that the Spirit of God is going to be with me and live in me, right? That this was foreign to them. That's why they would tell Jesus, well, you can't go anywhere. If you go anywhere, then we're alone. Like, you can't, that's why Peter is like, may it never be. You can't die. Then what's going to happen to the movement? And Jesus is like, oh, it's only going to get better because you'll have access to the Holy Spirit. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And then he goes, says this, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. What's amazing to me is the same Holy Spirit that empowered the disciples to be the best disciples they could be, better than when Jesus was on earth, is the same Holy Spirit that empowers you to get through Monday. Isn't that incredible? Okay, sorry, I just get so excited. All right, so verse 19 and 20. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. Okay, so Jesus is saying, die, resurrected, up to heaven, okay? But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. When we say, I accepted Jesus into my heart, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about this idea that the Holy Spirit indwells you. You say, John, what does that mean? I have no idea how it works. I just know that's what the Bible says, and I know what it's like to hear his voice. And we'll get to that in the coming weeks. What does it mean to hear the voice of God? So we go on. He goes on in verses 25 and 26. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the advocate, that's that word again, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. The Holy Spirit speaks the words of Jesus. He speaks the words of Jesus that Jesus actually spoke, and he speaks the words of Jesus into your life today. And so you might hear the voice of God through the Holy Spirit saying things to you. Now, I can give you many, many examples of how the Lord talks to me. It's going to be different than how he talks to you. The Lord typically talks to me in questions, but there have been some really harsh words that he's spoken to me that I didn't come up with on my own because they're harsh. So one time I was at a park, I was sitting on the bench, and I was just sitting there and I was looking up at the stars. I had my dog and I was just like, hey, Lord, speak to me. And he goes, you don't trust me. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe you should not speak to me. Okay, that wasn't very nice. How about I love you, or I'm proud of you, or here's the thing. He was dead on. Like, he was dead on. He's like, you want me to talk to you? You don't trust me. And I didn't. And so you never know what's kind of exciting about the Holy Spirit. You never know what he's going to say, but he'll remind you of everything he said to you. In chapter 15, he says this, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Again, the Holy Spirit is always talking to you about Jesus, how to become more like Jesus, the words of Jesus, a transformation. That's why he says, I won't leave you as orphans. I'm sending the Spirit of God as though it were me right there. Not in bodily form, okay? So now we get to chapter 16. Again, we've just read this verse in the beginning. Very truly, I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I'll send him. When he comes, he will prove to the world to be in the wrong about sin. Okay, we'll talk about that. Uncomfortable sermon next week, and righteousness and judgment, about sin because people did not believe in me, about righteousness. Okay, check this out. Because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. In other words, Jesus' life was the epitome of righteousness, what it looks like to live a righteous life as a human being. That's what, he was the perfect example for us. And so what he's saying, what Jesus is saying is, I'm leaving, so there's no more example, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit that will guide you into all truth and let you know, answer your questions about what does it look like for me to live like a follower of Jesus? What does that look like? Right? And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. In other words, he has authority over sin and death. And then he says this, I love this. Jesus is so cool. He goes, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. I can just see, and I might be reading too much into the Bible, all of them are just looking with their mouths open at Jesus like, what are you talking about? This would be so new to them. You and I, we're like, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit, yeah, sure, whatever. Third person of the Trinity. They're just like, I think Jesus is losing his mind, right? But he says, but more than you can now bear. I can see it on your faces. You can't bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Listen to this. This is what it means for you. When you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life, guiding, correcting, sometimes encouraging, as this helper comes alongside of you, you are literally listening to the words of Jesus in your life, which is pretty awesome. Oh, yes, thank you, but it's pretty awesome, right? Can you believe that? That he speaks what he hears. And so when you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, it's Jesus speaking to you. It's amazing to me. I love it. I love it. Okay, so that's Jesus setting this up with the disciples. It's better if I go. It's better. You'll be better disciples when I'm not around and when you have access to the Holy Spirit. So what does it look like? What does my life look like if I'm listening to the Holy Spirit or if I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit? Well, there's a very famous section of scripture in Galatians chapter 5 that kind of talks about what the two look like. And so if I see myself in my life looking on the not so great side, that's a good example that I'm not really listening to the Holy Spirit, that my life isn't following him. So Galatians 5 says this, so I say, walk by the Spirit. In other place in scripture, it says, keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, I don't go anywhere he doesn't tell me to go. I don't say anything he doesn't tell me to say. I don't do anything he doesn't tell me to do. I don't do things he told me not to do. And I don't say things he told me not to say. All right? So what does that look like? You will not gratify the desires of the flesh, because we always want to do what we want to do, right? Maybe it's just me. All right. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with one another. There is a war raging in your spiritual life. Your flesh wants to do what it wants to do, and the Spirit has another plan, right? They're in conflict with one another so that you are not to do whatever you want, okay? You say, John, so the Holy Spirit can like help me not sin. We're going to talk about next week. But yeah, you can actually go through the rest of your life without sinning. Okay? I know that sounds odd, but let me ask you a question. Can you go 5 minutes without sinning? Wow, none of you, really? A bunch of degenerates. You're like, nah, maybe 3.5 tops, but 5? What do you think I am, Paul? Like, right. No, of course you can, right? You can go 10 minutes without sinning. I'll bet I've gone a day without sinning. I'm not special, but I think I have. Maybe that's bragging, which is a sin. So now I just blew it, but right? But you've had good days, you've had bad days, you've had good weeks, right? Right? This is what the Holy Spirit empowers you to do, right? He says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You just listen to the voice of Jesus. Now, Here's what it looks like in my life when I'm not following the Holy Spirit. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, basically social media, right? Dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Okay, maybe you don't want to take it too far, right? I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You think, oh, they're going to go to hell? That might be part of it, but you're getting the idea that you can experience the kingdom of God here on earth, that you can be set free, that you're not just sitting under the chains of your flesh. You don't have to do the things that you want to do. You're not trapped. That's all through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on. Well, what does it look like to follow the Holy Spirit? How do I know in my life what the Bible would call fruit? How do I know that I'm doing what the Holy Spirit would have me to do? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When I see that in my life, there's a really good chance that I'm listening to and I'm obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I don't have that much joy in my life. Well, the good news is you have an advocate, the Holy Spirit, who would go, well, let's talk about that. Why do you think you don't have joy? Well, I just don't know. I don't make enough money and I feel like, oh, okay. So money's a big thing for you, right? Okay, well, let's talk about that. Do you know anyone who has less money than you that has joy? Ah, yes. The Holy Spirit can be very annoying. I just want you to know that. Like, you know, he's just going asking you questions, walking you through it. Do you know anybody? Yeah. How come they have joy? I don't know. That's a great question. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? And he says, against such things, there is no law. Watch. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. And it goes on, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Here's my prayer for you guys this week. I really hope that when you start your day tomorrow, or maybe even when you get home tonight, you begin to change your prayer life. And you begin to change it as though you can actually hear the voice of God. Now, you got to be careful with that because there have been some people who've done some really wacky things because God told them to. But there's some tests you can do. Does it line up with Scripture? Remember, he's the Spirit of Truth. Is it adding to the fruit of the Spirit? Is it something that if it's filled with anxiety, there's a good chance it's not the Holy Spirit. But we ask these things. We keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And so that maybe tomorrow you're driving along and you hear a voice in your head and you're like, I wonder if that's the Holy Spirit. And you begin kind of opening up your heart to the idea that God might be speaking to you about something. Some of us, God has spoken very clearly. And we're like, nah, I'm not getting out of that relationship. Nope, not now. I'm gonna go after this thing, or I'm gonna look at that, or I'm gonna watch this, or I'm gonna listen to that, or I'm gonna whatever, ingest this, or whatever it is. And you know he's already spoken to you, and you've chosen not to do that. So that's my goal. We'll end up with Romans here, which is one of the things about the Holy Spirit that I think is really important. And then we'll wrap up. Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. We have an opportunity. We have this situation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. It's no clearer than that. The Holy Spirit has your best in mind, even when it's hard. When the Holy Spirit told me, you don't trust your Heavenly Father, it was for my best. I had to wrestle with that. I didn't like it. He said lots of things I don't like at all. It's for my good. He's had me give up things I did not want to give up. For my good. He's had me add things into my life I did not want to add. For my good. If we live by the flesh, we die. If we live by the Spirit, we live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves. You think, well, man, sometimes I want to do this thing and he doesn't let me do it. That's not slavery, that's freedom. So that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received, as the worship band comes back up, brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. We're going to go into a time of worship, and I was praying about this week, specifically about this time, that some of you would hear the voice of God for the first time maybe in your whole life. That you would begin to open up the idea that your Heavenly Father wants to talk to you. That could be a word of rebuke. It could be a word of encouragement. It could be a word of instruction. It can be, hey, it's time to give that up. It's time to add that. It's time to take your faith seriously. It's time to let go of that bitterness. It's time to change your routine during the day. I have no idea. But I've been praying for you all week that you would hear him. Maybe some of you want to come up to the stage here and kneel. I like to do that every Sunday. I like to do that because it just puts me in a posture of, hey, I'm willing to hear. I'm willing to listen. And I've been here on Sunday mornings where I walk down here and I kneel down. And the word I hear is not that great, but it's exactly what I needed to hear. Other times I'll feel like, man, I don't know if I got that sermon down right. Like it's probably a C minus. And the Lord says to me, well done. You did fine. It's like, oh man, thank you. I don't know what you're going to hear. I really don't. But I know that he's faithful and he won't leave you as orphans, and that the Spirit of truth says the words of Jesus to you. And so Joe will play this song, and you can just come up and pray. If there's somebody, if you want prayer specifically, you can go to the cross and someone will pray for you there. I don't know if we have, is anyone scheduled for that this morning? Then Monica, could you pray at the cross for somebody? Okay, good. All right, cool. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, how amazing that you still speak today. Lord, we don't want to let anything get in the way of listening to your Holy Spirit rebuke us, encourage us, instruct us, guide us. And so, Lord, I pray that as we enter this time of prayer, that we would have ears tuned to your voice, that we would actually listen to the voice of God. So amazing. We thank you for that. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you didn't leave us as orphans. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I would have you raise your hand if you heard the voice of God, amen. But I don't want to call anybody out or anything like that. Like I said, my prayer for this week is that you would not just end this conversation with your Heavenly Father today, but that tomorrow morning, the Bible says to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now, we all have a mindset, whether we like it or not. And so my prayer is that tomorrow morning when you wake up in the morning, or maybe you're driving home today, or you're in traffic this week, and you go, what was that? And that it was your Heavenly Father speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. So if you want to stand for the blessing, if you're not standing already, now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and yes, the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would go with a clear mind and ears wide open to hear his voice, and that you would be blessed knowing that you're loved and he has not left you as orphans. In Jesus' name, Amen. You guys have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.